ready to serve God again in Alliance, Ohio. But it's neat to see what God's doing over there. And I appreciate Bill sharing a few testimonies of modern-day miracles, because that's really what I'm going to be talking to you about today, is modern-day miracles. You know, when we think about the miracles that Jesus Christ did, what do you usually think about? Maybe healings, maybe the healing of the 10 lepers, or the man born blind, raising the dead son of the widow. Miracles that weren't necessarily healings. Maybe miracles like the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000, walking on water, calming the storm. And, I don't mean to diminish the miracle of healing, but a lot of times I don't think we give God credit enough in our modern world for all modern day miracles we see. So I want to talk about a little known miracle in the Bible that Jesus did, and I want to use that as a backdrop for some of the modern day miracles that we're seeing right here in this church. So if you have a Bible, turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 17. Matthew 17, verse 24. Matthew 17, verse 24 reads this way: when they came to Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma tax went up to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the tax?" He said, "Yes." And when he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take toll or tax? From their sons or from others?" And when he had said, "From others," Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are free. However, not to give an offense to them, go to the sea and cast a hook and take the first fish that comes up. And when you open its mouth, you will find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for me and for yourself." Let's pray. Father God, as we enter into your word, Lord God, I just pray that you would open up our hearts to your abilities and the possibilities we have in serving you, to see supernatural things taking place and miracles even in this day and age, Lord God. I just pray that your spirit would be working in our hearts through your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Ever hear this story before? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you probably read through your Bible once or twice and have read that story. Anybody have a clue what's going on? So let me give you a background on this story. First of all, the tax is not a Roman tax. It's actually a tax that was instituted back in Exodus chapter 30. You can read about it back when they had the tabernacle. This is even before the temple. But the idea was everybody was to give, or every male household representative, I should say, was to give a half a shekel offering to keep up the tabernacle. And then later on, when they had the temple, it became the temple tax. Every male was supposed to do this. So it's a pretty simple thing. You know, it's no big deal, right? It's just not, you know, on top of your regular tithes and offerings. This was just for the upkeep of the temple. The problem was Peter, as he was known to do, spoke before thinking, spoke before checking into things. He spoke outside of his authority, really. And he speaks and says, "Oh, sure, the master pays his tax." And then he has to go into the building and face Jesus Christ and figure out, now, how am I going to deal with this situation? Can anybody relate to that? You kind of spoke out of turn, and now you got to deal with the consequences. Fortunately, we serve a loving God who knows everything. And this was no secret to Jesus Christ. So Jesus speaks before he asks Jesus and puts himself in a bind. He commits Jesus to something that Jesus did not give him the authority to do. He's in a bind of his own making. But when he goes in the house to talk to Jesus about this, Jesus already knows about it. And Jesus asks him a rhetorical question. From whom do the kings of the earth take toll or tax? From their sons or from others? Now, this is kind of hard for us to understand because we don't live in a kingdom, right? We live in a democracy, a republic and all that kind of stuff. We don't have a king. You know, we have a president, but he's really not a king. And, you know, that's just the way it is in the United States. So we don't understand this. But when Jesus's point is, look, this tax was taken up for temple service. The temple is for God. Who am I? Really, it's an identity question. Who am I? Am I supposed to pay for the upkeep of my own temple? Obviously, the kings don't tax and expect their sons to pay, and neither should Jesus Christ be required to pay the temple tax. That's all he's saying. It's a question of identity. And it's a point Jesus is making with Peter. And it's just another testimony in the Bible that Jesus is God. It's just another testimony of the fact that Jesus is God. But Jesus offers a compromise. He says, well, let's not cause an offense. Let's allow this to do something. Now, but yet he doesn't say, go ahead and take a shekel or a half a shekel out of the treasury that they have. Peter got himself into this mess. Peter's going to get himself out of this mess. So he says something very, very practical for Peter to do. Peter is a fisherman. He says, put a hook on a line and throw the line in the water. And the first fish you catch, take a look at its mouth, and you're going to find a shekel. Not a half a shekel. Take that shekel and pay the temple tax, not just for me, but for yourself as well. Just to keep things unoffensive. Now, the thing I love about this story is, think about it, Jesus could have done this innumerable numbers of ways. He could have solved this issue many, many different ways. He could have just simply said, hey, grab a half a shekel out of our treasury, get it off of Judas Iscariot, he's a treasure, and go pay it. He could have easily have done that. Or he could have had Peter just, you know, say, hey, well, you got yourself into this mess, brother. You know, I hope you got a bank account somewhere or whatever. He could have done this many different ways. He could have done a miracle where he could have said, Peter, go out and go fishing, and when you bring in all the fish that you catch, sell it, and then go pay this half shekel from that. He could have done this innumerable ways. But yet he chose to use Peter's very own occupation as a way, as a means to solve this problem, but yet do it in a way that glorified himself. Has anyone ever been fishing and opened the mouth of a fish and found a coin? I've never heard of that happening before. So it's obviously a miracle, but it's a very practical miracle. I'm not a fisherman. I don't claim to be much of a fisherman, but if I do fish, I like the reel, casting and reeling in. That way I don't fall asleep. And I notice the lures I use tend to be shiny, and they tend to reflect light and everything. When you reel them in, they kind of flash light, and it attracts the fish. Fish bite on them, and then you have the pleasure of reeling in a fish. Very simple. Well, coins are shiny, so it sounds very practical that somebody dropped in a shekel and the fish ate it. Kind of simple, but yet a miracle because Jesus told him what to do, and that's exactly what happened. So in that light, I want to talk to you today about some modern-day miracles that happen within our own midst. And the reason I want to do this is not to brag on, you know, the Alliance Christian Center or any individual in here, but just say in some very practical ways, God has used this church to initiate some things in this community and even across the globe, so to speak. And they're nonetheless miracles. In the book Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby, he speaks of many, many modern-day miracles. And it's something I noticed about his book. Just about every one of the miracles that I can remember were financial miracles. And we've seen those kind of things. So let me give you some examples in the life of our church. Let's talk about the Alliance Pregnancy Center, because my wife's here, and I love my wife, and I like to talk a little bit about What are some of the things that are going on at the Alliance Pregnancy Center? Most of you probably in here don't know that 30 years ago, two members of this very congregation started the Alliance Pregnancy Center. It was a step of faith. They did this as a step of faith. Now, many other churches have since joined hands and ministered and helped in this ministry and stuff. So it's not a solely Alliance Christian Center thing, but it's very gratifying to know that God moved on the hearts of two people within this congregation to get this whole thing rolling. I praise God for that. We need to glorify God for what He's doing in that. And now many, many churches are working on that. And it's so neat. If you've ever been to an Alliance Pregnancy Center banquet, it's so neat because it's almost like a family reunion of churches. And it's so neat because you got people from many, many different churches. And some of them, maybe dress differently than we dress. Some of them worship differently than we worship here. But, it's all part of the body of Christ. It's kind of a foretaste of heaven. It's kind of a foretaste of heaven. Now, the pregnancy center, I'm really committed to the pregnancy center, not just because my wife works there, but because they stand in the gap between life and death. And I can't think of anything more important in our community than to have such an organization there doing that. It's right here in our community. We don't have to send people to Canton or send people to Youngstown to be ministered to. We can minister right in this community. And they do more than just give pregnancy tests. Let's see the next slide here. They do limited ultrasound, infant clothing, parenting classes, post-abortion help, STD testing, Christian biblical guidance, sexual responsibility education, maternity clothes, to name a few. And it's so neat to see what God has done in the Alliance Pregnancy Center. I want to share a little story that happened that I consider a modern-day miracle. Years ago, actually still going on today, there's a group of pastors that get together that pray for this community, pastors from different churches, and I'm involved in that group. And years ago, we decided to do something. We decided to get all the churches and all the nonprofits together in a meeting just to sit down and discuss what we're doing so that there's no overlap. I mean, one church has a backpack ministry. Two other churches shouldn't do it. Maybe they should just join them in that backpack ministry. One church serves Thanksgiving meals. Let's not have several churches serving Thanksgiving meals on Thanksgiving Day. Let's just get behind the one church that's doing that. The idea of coordination, even Vacation Bible School. Let's do Vacation Bible School, but let's not all do it on the same week of the summer. Let's space them out. Let's find out where the different things are. So I was involved in that meeting, and there's a couple people from Alliance Pregnancy Center there. I think you were there at that time. And they were talking about the needs of the different organizations, and the Pregnancy Center said their need was an ultrasound machine. They were renting a machine. It's expensive, and they really needed to have their own machine. And here's what happened. A gentleman, a pastor in this community said, "I know where I can get you one for free." And he did. And then that ultrasound was delivered, and that was a free. They didn't have to have a monthly payment for that, and they were able to use that for a number of years. And like all things, things tend to break down. So here's the rest of the story. They had some equipment issues with it, and they needed like $2,000 to repair it. And the idea was, well, maybe we should get another ultrasound machine. And that week, wasn't it? They were discussing it. And that week, they got contacted by an organization called the Knights of Columbus that said they had raised money to supply them with a brand new machine. Now, is that a modern-day miracle? Is that something we can glorify God for? I praise God for that. And just to kind of give a feel for what God thinks about those things, in Hebrews 6, verse 10, it says, "God is not so unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for His name in serving the saints, as you still do." That says to me that God blesses our act of service. We're not in this alone. When we do things like the Alliance Pregnancy Center is doing, it's not like we're operating in a vacuum that God says, "Okay, you got that going, you're on your own, brothers and sisters." No, He's involved in that. So we need to glorify God for his work. Another thing that we really have to praise God for is Hope Haven International Ministries. Years ago, and I don't even know how many years ago, maybe 25 years ago, there was a guy named Mark Richard, started coming to our church and attending our church, and he had been a missionary in Guatemala. He had his mission there was to get a ranch, a chicken ranch, started for boys to work at, and he had completed that task, and then he came back to the States, and he settled in Alliance. Now, when he was doing his work as a missionary in Guatemala, he had been there when a handicapped woman was crawling across the Pan America Highway in the pouring down rain. And he vowed to bring back wheelchairs, to bring back a wheelchair for her. And so he set out to do that. And you know, as a church, we got behind him. And he started a ministry. Initially, it was called Grace. And then it became Johnny and Friends, or Johnny and Friends got involved in it. It became Wheels for the World. And eventually, Hope Haven International got involved in the organization. And they actually hired Mark to do that kind of work. And now he's working up in Iowa doing that. And the neat thing is, and Dave Walker and Karen Walker are here, but I think one of the first trips down to Guatemala, they took the bus down. Wasn't it you guys that were on that bus? And they took a bus down with a rack with a whole bunch of wheelchairs on, and that was one of the first wheelchair distributions that was done down in Guatemala, and our church had a hand in it. And we praise God because it was just such an amazing thing. And I know, Kurt Klinghoffer, you weren't involved in that first trip, but I was just going to say, you did use your welding expertise to put the rack on that bus. And that was just an amazing thing. And then today, you see this warehouse there. Actually, was it a year ago that we built that? A year ago, our team built the mezzanine layer, which actually Tracy Anderson was just drywalling and doing the patchwork this past week. But this is a warehouse that, interestingly enough, it's a factory, not just a warehouse, but it uses handicapped people to build wheelchairs for handicapped children. And it's just that I don't think there's anything like it in the world. It's one of the neatest things I've ever seen. But you see guys cutting pieces of plastic, bending tube, drilling holes, and you see women sewing fabric for the seats and everything and the pads. And it's just an amazing thing just to see what God is doing through small beginnings. That came right out of this church. It came right out of this church. And, you know, one of my visions was always to send teams down there, because we had that connection with Mark Richard, to send teams with youth involved so we could give our youth a vision for what it would take to do missions work so that we could take the gospel to faraway countries. And it's kind of interesting how this all came about because years ago, there was a disaster in the South called Hurricane Katrina. And most of you know this story, but for the sake of those of you that haven't heard it, I want to tell it again. Hurricane Katrina hit the South. And we had, it was one of these things. Wow, isn't that bad? Wow, that's terrible down there. And this girl from our youth group came to me and said, could we do something as a church about this? And I said, you know, you never want to say no to a youth, right? Sure we can. I'm clueless on what we're going to do. Maybe take up an offering or whatever. But it just so happened that one of our members of the church had an aunt that lived down in Pascagoula, Mississippi, one of the hardest hit area, and their church was flooded such that the pews were floating. It was so bad. So we connected with that church, and Kurt Klinghoffer led the team of people to go down there and help out. And Kurt will tell you that he is not a preacher. He's not an evangelist, teacher, you know, pastor, apostle, or, you know, prophet or anything like that. But he's a good foreman, and he knows how to get work done. Again, very practical thing. We wanted to help out in a practical way. So in a week, We went down there for a week the very first time, and I remember talking to the pastor who invited us to come down, and it was the very church where the pews had been floating, and we stayed in that church. And he lined up a house for us to re-roof, you know, to fix the roof for. And so at the end of the first day, we were done, and then he had to start scrambling because I don't think he realized how fast we were working. And so by the end of the week, we had done 5 roofs. And it was something that God did through us, really. We were working as his hands and feet in that. And that led to 2 subsequent trips to Mississippi to help out more. But what that it really did in essence was it got the ball rolling for us to do these international trips. And now we do, let's see the next slide. Now we're making a difference down in Guatemala. One of the things we do is we do simple things like, this is a kitchen, and that's my son. Here's a house. And I want to tell you a little bit about this house here. If you like camping, that's how the people live in Guatemala, basically. It's kind of like a camping motif where, you know, you cook outside, and usually you cook out in maybe a covered hut area or whatever, and that was the first slide. And this is a relief house, and this is typically what we build down there, is we build these houses. They come in kits. They cost about $1,200 to $1,600 a kit. We put it on a concrete pad, and we build it, and usually you could get them built in about a day and a half, you know, maybe 2 days. They're not hard to build, and they consist of 2 rooms, not very big. I have one room in my house that's bigger than this, okay? But for them, that is what, you know, it's a lot better than what they had. It's a dry place for them to sleep and to stay, and it serves their purpose. This particular house was one that we moved, and all we did was we took apart the panels, kind of like an erector set, you know. And it's all steel, so we took it apart, we moved it, and reassembled it. And then the next day we found out that they were having condensation problems in the ceiling because somebody had pulled the insulation off the ceiling. So we actually replaced the whole roof in the trip. I want to talk about the people that are standing there. And it's not a real good picture because I took it. And that's not one of my gifts. But anyway, I used what I had available to me. That's not the family there. The guy actually is a pastor that we're connecting with. One of our biggest concerns in Guatemala is that there's spiritual follow-up. We do a lot of physical work. We do some spiritual work too, but that there's spiritual follow-up. And this, his name is Hector, and what we're looking to do is support him as a church to continue our ministry to Guatemala, because we can only be there, you know, maybe a week or two, maybe 3 weeks out of the year, but he can be there 24/7 ministering to the people that we've ministered to. And you can't really see them too well. There's a lady, or there's 2 ladies there, and 2 girls there that actually live in that house. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 11 through 12 says this: to this end, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Every good work that you resolve to do in the name of the Lord, he's backing up. He's backing up. And it sounds so simple. You know, I think maybe Ruth shared last week that Kirk Martin was invited to get on this truck with Hector and do some street preaching. and a guy rededicated his life to the Lord, and his girlfriend got saved out of that. And Kirk Martin was sharing his testimony and getting translated. You know, I don't know what the Spanish word for eating out of dumpsters is, but it's neat to see what God's doing doing through that ministry and what's going on there. And we have an opportunity. We have a part in that to do that. And just to give you a feel for what kind of things God does through those situations, Kurt was telling me this story about a situation where he was taking a truckload of clothes up to a guy. Evidently, there was an earthquake or something, and there was a need in Asia. And Kurt had this truck. He was going to take this truck up to this area in the Midwest and make a pickup. So, you know, the obvious thing was, well, okay, let's bring the clothing up there for this guy who's going to ship him over to Asia to help in that relief. Well, Kurt's getting ready to go, and he can't get a hold of the guy. Can't get him on the phone. So in faith, Kurt loads up the truck with all these clothes and drives up to the guy's house. And he gets there, and the house is dark. Nobody's there. In faith, he knocks on the door. And just then, the guy drives up. He had a family emergency. He had been at the hospital for 3 days, and he only came home to feed his cat. And I call that a modern-day miracle. But wait, there's still more. So they ship these clothes to Asia, and it goes to this orphanage that, you know, this orphanage took in kids that had been displaced due to the earthquake. Parents had died, and these kids were put in an orphanage. And this was such a big deal that these clothes were being distributed that they had the TV station come show what was going on. And this couple that were in the earthquake happened to be watching TV. And they had lost a child in the earthquake. And they were watching TV. And they saw their child on TV receiving clothes. And through that, they were reconnected. So is that a coincidence? Or is that just a modern day miracle? And it was an act of faith that Kurt brought those clothes up there in the first place. That probably would have never happened. So you can see how God can work through situations and how he honors our steps of faith. Now I want to talk to you about a little bit more personal one, men's challenge. 3 years ago, in January, myself, Gil Goodwin, and Ray Hall of Marlboro Christian Church got together to address a need. What happened was my wife had come to me and said, hey, we're seeing people come to the Alliance Pregnancy Center. And these couples come, and the girl's pregnant, and the guy doesn't work. And somewhere around the 8th week of pregnancy, this light bulb goes off in their mind, and they say, hey, I got to get me a job. But they don't know the first thing about how to even get a job. Could you help them? So I started meeting with these guys on an individual basis, and I realized that the problem was beyond my ability. But God just supernaturally opened up this situation. I got together with Gil Goodwin and Ray Hall, and Men's Challenge just supernaturally emerged. And Men's Challenge, you know, the motto is making the unemployable employable. And some of the things, there's basically three things we do. Let's see the next slide here. The other direction. All right. We try to overcome real and perceived barriers to employment by providing job readiness training classes, mentors or coaches, and workshops. And so, yeah, let's see the next slide. Basically, the classes, we just teach guys how to find a job, how to fill out a job application. Some guys don't know how to fill out a job application. We teach guys how to interview, and we teach guys how to handle a paycheck once they get their first paycheck, because sometimes they just want to blow it all at once and don't realize. The second thing we do, and the most, what I figure is the most important thing, is hook them up with mentors, Christian men who can show them the way to getting a job, and also kind of be the dad. Some of these guys don't know their dad even, and some of them, when they do know their dad, it's not a good thing. Some of them don't have very good dads, but I think the mentoring is one of the most critical areas that we do. And then the third area is we do workshops. We teach them how to operate a chainsaw. We teach them how to run a forklift. We give them certification for those things. And for some of the guys that are really struggling, we actually provide 30 days of employment where they learn to work as they work and receive a paycheck. And that puts them in a good situation, because we've found that it's easier to find a job when you already have a job. People are willing to hire you if you've already proven yourself on the job. So to date, Men's Challenge has reached about 800 guys. Roughly 60% of the guys who complete our program get jobs. And we're really, really, really proud of that. But something we're more proud about is the fact that we preach the gospel at every meeting, and about 200 guys have prayed to receive Christ through this ministry. And, you know, you don't know where their hearts are at. You don't know how many of them are going to stick with it or whatever. But it's just neat to see what God is doing through the ministry. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 is our theme. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, plans to give you a hope and a future." And we tell the guys, God wants to give you hope and a future, but you got to get on his plan. You got to get on his plan. And so that's what we do with Men's Challenge. So where does that leave you guys? You know, I think God is calling all of us to be involved in the work he's doing. And you don't have to be a street preacher. You can be a Kurt Klinghoffer and do something very practical and make a significant difference. You don't have to start your own ministry. You can just join yourself to something that God is already doing. I know Caitlin has been volunteering over at the Alliance Pregnancy Center. Every little bit helps. Every little thing that is done in the name of Jesus Christ, he honors and he blesses. John 5, verse 17, Jesus is addressing some people, and he says to them, "My Father is working until now, I am working." You know, Jesus Christ is still working on this planet, and it's through you and I. And then in John 9, verse 4, it says, "We must work the works of him who sent me while it is still day. Night is coming when no one can work." I'll tell you something, folks. Right now we can work. We don't know what the future holds for us. You know, there may become a time where we can't meet publicly and open like this. But right now we can. And right now we can go to Guatemala. And we can help people with their disabilities and we can preach the gospel. Right now we can help individuals in our own community who are struggling to find work and show them the way. Not just to find work, but to find Jesus Christ. Right now we can stand in the gap for those who are considering whether or not to kill their child through the Alliance Pregnancy Center. Right now we can be involved in these things and proclaim the gospel for Jesus Christ. Every one of you can participate in some way, somehow, in the kingdom of God, in seeing the kingdom of God expand. And my encouragement to you is, let's just do it. And let's see the modern day miracles that God is going to do through us. Amen? Let's pray. Stand with me, if you will. Father God, I'm just so thankful for just the wonderful things that we're seeing you do, Lord God. I thank you for the Alliance Pregnancy Center and the work that they're doing, Lord. I thank you for just the ministry of Hope Haven International and Mark Richard and our Guatemala teams that have gone down there to make a difference, Lord God. I thank you for Kurt Klinghoffer for leading this ministry and for making these things come to pass, Lord God. We're just so thankful, Lord God. We thank you for Men's Challenge and the work you're doing through it, Lord God, and the many volunteers and many, many churches that are involved in that, Lord God. And we just pray you'd continue to bless it, Lord. And Lord, we just glorify you. We glorify you for just making all these things come to pass. Lord God, it is such a blast to join you in this work, Lord God. And I pray for each person here that you'd move upon them just to help out in whatever way they can. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.